From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's midweek, so we have to go over all the fallout and start looking forward towards the future. We have a great show for you today. And we're brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, less than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they joined the league, a league of football watchers. This football season will be different. Pepsi's here to get you through every game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now, we have something great coming up for you. Matt Derrick's back with us. We're going to go through the progression and what the offense needs, what the defense is providing, and how they're going to get there as they look to take a step forward as they adapt to what's going on, not only in their games, but around the league. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host over at RGR Football. And today, before we get to any of that, there is a lot of talk that we started actually yesterday about the trade deadline. It is coming fast and furious and will be here upon us very, very soon. And a couple of things have sprung up that have a lot of questions going on in Chiefs Kingdom. And part of that is the availability of Quinnen Williams out of the New York Jets, who they're going to see this week. It is a tempting offer, and I know a lot of Chiefs fans want to see them add a blue chip player like Williams. But I just want to be able to tell you now that it is not something that I think is going to happen. Evidently, if this is going to happen, and the Jets were very quick to say that no, that's not indeed what they're looking for, which tells me they may actually be open to it. They were adamant to say the price tag's not going to be a day two pick. So I don't think the Chiefs, even though they're just as likely as anyone else to have that 32nd pick in the day one, in the first round, I don't think they're going to be keen on giving that up. They do have fish to fry. They have tackles that are eventually going to need to be replaced. They have corners that they could need to bolster right now. They have a deficit at linebacker and some questions along the interior offensive line. So there are a lot of fish to fry. And I think keeping that first round pick rather than going with who is a top flight draft pick in Williams, I just don't see it happening because of the value represented. I think they'd rather go and get their evaluation where they want to get it. But that said, if it were to fall out of that, maybe they might be in talks. I think talks are always good. And I think the way that we know that Brett Veach operates, he is most likely going to be discussing with people back and forth and around the league pretty much no matter what, because that's not the only thing that's going on. We talked to you yesterday about Everson Griffin and the fact that he might be available from the Cowboys. And it turns out it's already a done deal. It has happened as we understand it now. And by going to the Lions, that looks like they have a trade partner. The interesting thing was this was for a sixth round conditional pick. I can't help but think that if the Chiefs were interested, that is something that they would have seen as a perfectly fine value to make that kind of investment in someone that could bolster the defensive end position. I think that's important because it tells me that they feel comfortable with the group that they have. And so moving forward, I expect to see Taco Charlton return. I expect eventually Alex Okafor to return. The question will be, how long can he stay healthy? And you have to factor in the rookie Mike Dana as well. So I feel like as much as the defensive line interior looks very good, I think they feel that they are set quite admirably with how they want to move forward at the defensive end position as well. Now, it may come out that they were involved in at least inquiring about what the Cowboys wanted for Everson Griffin. That may be perfectly fine. And if the value isn't there, good for them for not biting on it too quickly. But there is always the chance that something could come of it. The deadline is ticking away. And I know some folks think that the team is going to be reluctant to make a trade because of all the COVID rules and all those things. In fact, I think I'll ask Matt Derrick about that here when we get back from this. Chain stores had different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everyone, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. I did this the other day for my new charger, and it worked fantastic. You need to go check it out. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And it is the Wednesday show, so that means we have to get back in touch with the guy that helps us sort it all out post-game. But Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is back. How are you, Matt?
I am well, right? Although I know you guys already always have it sorted out before I come along. So I'm probably just here to just reinforce what you've already figured out.
You are very kind, but yeah, my head cannot swell that big. I have a lot of things that I miss every week. And it's funny because the little things add up. And I just want to take a step back. And we heard Andy Reid speak about specifically just how the team contributed to the whole thing. This was a really well-rounded win. There were certainly problems on both sides, but there was a lot of pluses on both sides. After a few days now, what's your biggest takeaway? What surprised you the most about what they got out of that game in Denver?
I mean, maybe to a degree, looking back on it now with some perspective, is that, you know, I mean, this was a 43-16 win. But as you kind of touched on, I mean, I don't know that any one particular phase, except for maybe special teams, was absolutely fantastic. And even there were some quibbles. I mean, you're always going to be concerned about missing extra points. But I don't think that was the best team, the best game that this team can play, as good as it was. I mean, I think they can play better. I mean, I think there were some things that were left on the field. I think there's some things that we still don't know about, but I mean, I come out of that game saying, okay, 43-16, that's good overall team win, but I wasn't blown away. I mean, I think this team has better games in it, and I think we're going to see them later on.
Yeah, I mean, you take away the defensive touchdown or the defensive plays that set up the touchdowns, you take away the special teams, but I mean, you're still talking about a double-digit win on a team, on a game day that you didn't put out your best game. But the thing that brings it back to me is one word for Patrick and the offense overall really is patience. I don't think we would have seen this a year ago. Do you see that as an evolution of him, as him, Andy, and Eric, like, or the team as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more a kind of a couple of fold. I mean, offensively, yeah, we didn't used to see this game 2 years ago. I mean, this was a different concept. But then again, the defense didn't let this offense play this kind of game 2 years ago. So there's some of that too. I mean, I think that we've all believed that, you know, now for a period of time, even going back to last season, that this team really showed the ability to play with different speeds. And I think that's just, you know, through seven games, I think we've just been reinforced that this offense doesn't have to floor it all the time. They can play ball control. They can play 4 minute offense. They can play 8 minute offense. They can do whatever they need to, whatever they want to a large degree, which leads us back to the inevitable conclusion that this team's going to go as far as this defense will take them. And right now, I mean, this defense is taking them places. So I like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot of room to quibble with a team that's 6-1 right now, but I think there are. I mean, I still think there's plays that they're leaving on the field, and I think there's areas that they feel like that they can definitely improve.
In terms of improving, I completely agree with you, but I don't want to wait to talk about defense till after the break. I always do that, and I'm sorry about that. So we're going to get into it right now. A lot of big plays have come from the safety group. We've seen them get just incrementally better as the season's gone on. They're producing. But I think lost in that, in the production of the interceptions, et cetera, this week was that the corners actually held their own in the snow, which I think puts any defensive back that has to play backwards at a disadvantage. Did you come away with that same thought with Ward, Breland, and Fenton in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they played better. But again, I mean, I think that a big part of their success goes up to what happened up front. I mean, I didn't think that Drew Lock ever got a lot of time to look comfortable back there. They definitely got more pressure on him than they have some recent quarterbacks. So I think that's a good sign. But yeah, I mean, I still think that cornerback position is, I think it's always going to depend on what they're doing up front. If you get into a game where those four guys up front aren't getting pressure, then you're going to see some problems. And You know, I mean, hey, Locke put up some yards late. I mean, it wasn't overpowering and it wasn't a concern. I mean, and a little bit to that degree, the Chiefs had called off the dogs. But at the same time, that speaks to the fact that when they call off the dogs, you know what, or the dogs just aren't getting there, you can move the football on this team.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes all the way around. And there's definitely a speed aspect to it. And I think we'll get back to that here in a little bit, because you switched me over to what I think was a standout performance for Byron Pringle all the way around. But overall, with McColl getting some touches late, and then obviously the top of the heap for the wide receiver group with this team is, and probably will be until he leaves this team, Tyreek Hill. And he had that streak. What was it? 6 touchdowns in at least 7 games, like continually, despite the over coverages, despite the snow, despite getting doubled constantly around the league. It shows me an evolution for him too, that he's still working. He's not getting frustrated. I'm really impressed with the poise, but he in particular, a guy that should be the focus of the offense. Does that show a maturation for Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, because I think we've definitely have seen a change in Tyreek Hill over the past year. And, you know, and even setting aside anything that's happened off the field and just focusing on what's happened on the field, what we've at least have been able to see to a degree in the locker room, and this season, you know, seeing at least on Zoom and with some of the things that he does do off the field, he's a different dude. I mean, I think you really are seeing a maturation, and it goes, I think it goes beyond just as a receiver. I think it just goes as a player, and probably speaks to a little bit as a person as well. It's definitely something that, you know, you've heard from some of his teammates. And yeah, I mean, you continue to see a grinder out there. I mean, he got, what, 10 targets on Sunday? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, and sure, in the past, if Tyreek Hill got 10 targets, you'd probably expect 9 catches and 172 yards and a couple of scores. And that's just not the way that teams are playing him right now. I mean, he's having to really hustle and grind to get his numbers. And he's doing that. And it's not just for the numbers' sake, for numbers. I mean, it's for first downs. It's for scores. He's doing what he has to do. And that is going to pay off, because as he continues to adjust and he continues to figure out ways to get open, as Mahomes figures out a way to get him the ball, teams are going to have to adjust again. And when they do adjust, I think that's going to open up the big plays, and it's going to open up some of the things that you normally see with this offense. I mean, right now teams are trying to take away stuff, and they're trying to force them to do something that the Chiefs don't necessarily want to do, but they'll do it. And right now they're proving that they can do it. So I don't know what the next evolution is for teams to try and play this team. But all I know is that I'm pretty sure when they do change it up again, it's going to be in Tyreek Hill's benefit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, no disrespect to Sammy Watkins, but his absence actually places more emphasis on Tyreek. And I think he's living up to it. But for those that are concerned about the offense and the way that it isn't churning out the yardage and the big scores and that kind of thing, can you talk people off the ledge about this is not a problem with the offense itself? It's an adaptation to what they're seeing.
Absolutely. I mean, and asking and seeing Andy Reid's responses and some of the players' responses over the last couple of weeks, there is absolutely zero concern with the offense or with how they're being played right now. They're going to take it. I mean, if teams are going to challenge them to run the football and go with a short passing game, just getting rid of the ball quickly, and not push the ball downfield, they are absolutely, completely, and totally 100% comfortable with that. And they will take it. And like I said, I mean, I think a big part of it is that they know that the better that they get at that, eventually teams will change. And when teams do change, it's probably going to be in the Chiefs' benefit. Because right now, I think they're doing the only thing you can do to slow down the Chiefs, and it's still not working. But when it comes to the weapons, I mean, don't worry about this team. I mean, you know, there's a reason why, you know, you've got a guy like McCole Hardman around that you're worried that maybe he's not getting enough production. Well, that's because there's like 18 guys in this team that can make plays. And Sammy Watkins, you take away any one piece of this. And I preface this by saying that the one piece that we have not seen this offense lose, other than Patrick Mahomes, is Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And I still say that is the biggest concern I would have as a Chiefs fan. Is, oh my gosh, what happens if Travis Kelce goes down for an extended period of time? Because we don't know what this offense looks like without him. And I think people will probably underestimate just how much of this offense depends on Kelce over the middle, with whether he's got the ball or not, whether he's getting it or not, just his presence. Because, ooh, man, if you don't have a Travis Kelce out there, it's going to be a whole lot easier to double team those receivers.
I'm really glad that you bring that up, because after we get back on the backside of this break, we are going to talk about the trade deadline and what's out there.
Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors, some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie, and I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Now, you set it up perfectly. I wasn't going to go there necessarily, but I don't know that there's anything out there off the top, but there's a lot of suggestions. And I think if, like you said earlier in the last segment, if something ever happened to Travis Kelce where he has to miss a couple of games, even a couple, that can send you in a slide that allows everybody to play even more blanket coverage over the top and take some things away from you. Is it worth, in your estimation, today as we sit a week out from the trade deadline, in going and pulling the rugs and trying to find some kind of other tight end talent worth trading for?
I mean, at this point, probably not, because as you kind of mentioned, I'm just not sure if that particular talent is out there. And, you know, the Chiefs have had plenty of opportunities to remedy this situation over the last few seasons, because I don't think it's anything that's new. I mean, I've been writing this story in almost every offseason the last few years. I mean, the Chiefs need a number two tight end behind Travis Kelce. And it's not, you know, just to have on the field with Travis Kelce. It's what are you going to do if he's not there for some reason? Because I still go back to the last time that this team had to play an extended period of time in a game without him was in that playoff game against Tennessee. And they lost it because he wasn't there. But the Chiefs have made it pretty clear, I think, with the way that they built this team over the last few years under Brett Veach, is that they don't feel the need for that second and third tight end to be a producer. I mean, they want that to be a player who can block, who can excel on special teams. That's why, and maybe occasionally catch the ball. And that's why, you know, Demetrius Harris, Nick Kizer, I mean, these guys are the perfect Blake Bell, perfect mold for what the Chiefs wanted a number two tight end, which is those things. It's not to be able to go out there and, you know, catch 800 passes for 800 yards, 16 pass, you know, 60 passes, anything like this. No, that's not what they're looking for. And so, yeah, I mean, if Travis Kelce gets to go down, they're going to scramble to figure out how to do it. But no, I mean, the solution is not out there, I don't think, in the trade. And this year's deadline, I think, is going to be really interesting as it is, because I think teams are going to be, for the most part, pretty hesitant about bringing in new guys at this time of year with everything that's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So that brings me to, you got to build up from within, right? And so a couple of things that we saw that we should talk about as we make the switch over from last week to this coming week. The Jets obviously are an organization in turmoil, to put it nicely.
I was putting it very, very generously.
But in the meantime, it's good practice. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can win any given Sunday. I fully admit that. But you have to see that there are matchups here that can be exploited, and it can allow you to let some younger guys get some more time. We saw the most snaps out of Willie Gay yet last week against Denver. Is this a game where he can honestly get into the nickel package some? Do you think that they're starting to feel more comfortable with him here as we approach the midpoint in the season?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, because we are seeing him now on the field more in passing downs, which, you know, for the first month of the season was just non-existent. I mean, it just, he wasn't there for it. So they're clearly, you know, Steve Spagnuolo and Matt House are definitely, I think, getting more comfortable with putting him in some additional packages. Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about this Jets game ideally being a great opportunity to maybe get some younger players some extended playing time, maybe let some guys who are banged up continue healing a little bit more. You know, you're not going to do it at the risk of winning the game. But, you know, hey, if this is a 3-score game in the second half, then, yeah, I mean, I would expect you're going to see a lot of, you know, the backups in there and getting some extended playing time. But Gay in particular, yeah, I think he's been continuing to show good snaps. The deflection that he had on the pass coverage, he saw some great verticality there. I mean, he really did a great job of getting up for that one. I mean, that just shows the athleticism that he has. I think the biggest concern that the Chiefs might have is just that he's still picking everything up and he's got the athleticism to maybe make up for some deficits, but I just don't want to put him in bad situations. I don't want to put him in spots where he's going to fail. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think you're going to still see them working him in slowly. But so far, he's passing every test that they give him. So I think that I think you're just going to continue to put more and more on his plate. And that my expectation all along was that I thought we would see more of Willie Gay than we did in the first month of the season. But my expectation going into this campaign was that by week 17, that he's probably a starter and playing close to every down.
That's my expectation, too. I hope that it continues down that path. Another guy who stepped forward, obviously, in special teams and Byron Pringle. Did you think that Andy's comments this week, I thought, were pretty standard, you know, that he needs to keep being himself and keep being there and being available. But I have to come back to the point that his performance, I think, ought to earn him more snaps on the offensive side of the ball. Do you see that happening, actually?
I mean, it's still going to be tough just with the number of snaps that go around. I think in his benefit is that, you know, with the Chiefs model of receiver, you know, what is Mecole Hardman? I mean, what is Byron Pringle? I mean, I think the way that he plays, he's got the speed, but I don't think the Chiefs necessarily see him as a Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. I think they see him more as that Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson type. So without Watkins in there right now, yeah, I mean, I think there's some opportunities for Pringle to get some more looks. I could also see him just even taking snaps away from a Robinson, you know, is just getting some opportunities and seeing what he could do. But I was taken with specifically, you know, what Reed said about Pringle and special teams. And it goes back to what we talked about last week, which was that Hardman's been doing just too much dancing. I mean, he's been doing too much east-west running on kick returns, and you just can't do that. And Reed hammered it away after the game, and he did it again on Monday, that Pringle did exactly what they want. You identify a lane, you hit it hard, and that's what he does. And so I expect we're going to see probably Byron Pringle remain on kick returns the majority of the rest of the way if he's healthy. And Hardman's probably going to do punt returns because I think those guys are better suited for those roles and, you know, separately.
That makes sense. And, you know, when it comes to the short game, especially on offense, I'd like to see Byron get in there and run some of those slants, some of those routes that require, again, going full bore and really attacking the defense the way that they're stacked up. We'll see if that actually happens. The last guy that stood out to me, and I want your take because it was very limited, and I haven't seen any action on the All-22. I haven't finished it yet, but Bobby Keys played some defense all of a sudden. Is that something that I think should grow this week against the Jets?
Well, it's a great opportunity. I mean, once again, I mean, in your theory, you're thinking that this team's going to be up big and they're going to have an opportunity to do that. Honestly, I mean, with Keys where he's at right now in his development, I tell you, it's probably Wednesday through Friday. It's going to have a bigger development on, you know, how much Keys plays each week. I mean, I don't think it's at this point, it's, you know, specifically any matchup situation where they feel like that he's favored in. I think he's continuing to come along, but I think at this point, you know, for a player like Keys, playing time to a degree is a little bit of a reward, you know, for just continuing to put in hard work and put in good effort. So I think that if you continue to see more and more Bo Keys on defense, I don't think that's necessarily a negative reflection on anybody in front of him in the depth chart, but I think it is probably going to be a positive reflection that the coaches are seeing something, that they're seeing something kick with this guy. And they want to make sure that he's getting some opportunities and he's getting that little bit of that carrot to keep trying.
Well, good for him. I appreciate that effort and I appreciate yours as well. Thank you for all of your insight.
It's always great talking to you, Ryan.
Folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Make sure you check it out. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.